Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5 as we continue our study in the book of Romans. Today we would like to take a look at verses 15 through 21. I'd like to read those verses. It says, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Amen. When's the last time you contemplated a door? What's the purpose of a door? We have a door over here. What's its purpose? Well, it's to make a block, right? It blocks things. We don't leave it open so you don't see the mess out there. Sometimes a door is used to keep people in, and sometimes a door is used to keep people out. A door. Scripture says, Jesus said, "I'm a door. You enter through me and you come in. And you have eternal life. If you stay outside the door, you don't." I don't know how many years it's been. It's probably been well over 50 years ago. Maybe over 60 years ago. I remember singing a song. A little chorus. "One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. There's an inside and there's an outside. Which side are you? One door and only one. Yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. Which side are you?" How many ever sang that as a kid? Anybody? Oh, well, good. All the, older people. Sort of the more mature people. have sung that chorus. Think about it. The passage we have before us here in Romans 5 said that there's two groups of people. One group is in Adam, and the other group is in Christ. And so what group are you in? Everybody began in Adam. You want to look up your ancestry sometime? Look it up in Scripture. You all go back to Noah. You all go back to Adam. Wow. I can trace my genealogy a long way. I got a lot of blanks, but there it is. Goes all the way back to Adam. And in Adam, when Adam sinned, I got credit. Or should I say demerit? I became a sinner. When Adam sinned, I sinned. The scripture says that when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for my sin, as a believer in Christ, I died with Christ on the cross to my sin. And when he rose from the dead, I rose to new life in Christ. And I have new life in Christ, and I live in the heavenlies with him right now. That's what this passage is talking about. Adam and Christ. If you're an unbeliever, you're still an Adam. So think about what the results are if you're still an Adam as we go through this passage. If you're a believer, think about the fact that I am in Christ and all this that is talking about here. It's a series of contrasts between being in Adam and being in Christ. Our relationship to Adam was natural, physical. All human beings were in that. As believers, our relationship in Christ is spiritual. And it's eternal. There's sin. And there's a gift. As it's going to end up the next chapter, it says that there's wages of sin. And that is death. It's something that you earn by your sins that you commit. First by being in Adam and then all the sins you've committed. Oh, I won't go into that. In Christ, we get everything that he did. And it's a free gift. By the way, when is a gift not free? Someone says, I want to give you a gift. If it's a salesman, you always ask, what's the cost? Right? Is it really free? The gift of life is free in Christ. But it leads to a whole new life. So let's look at these comparisons. And in verse 15, we have the first comparison. And he starts off with, but. Here's a contrast to what he was saying earlier. He says, but the free gift is not like the trespass. There's something different between the sinfulness of Adam and the free gift offered in Christ. So this is the comparison. Not like. Something is not like something. Sometimes you say something is like something. But here it's something is not like something. It says the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, one man's offense, one man's sin, the word here means a deviation from the path, a departing from where you're supposed to be going. It's going where you shouldn't go. It's entering a divinely forbidden realm. It's what Adam did when he disobeyed the one command. It says, for if many died through one man's trespass. Look at this. Much more. Much more. Okay? Much greater. Much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of God of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. As one theologian said, Christ is much more powerful to save than Adam was to destroy. Praise God. Praise God. Now, it started off, for if, but this is a first-class condition, assumed as true, you could almost say since. Since many died through one man's trespass, much more this grace of God. Many died, but much more through the grace of God, it abounded for many. Many and many. Verse 18, it's saying for all. And verse 19, for many, for many. Think about those as we go through them. Now the contrast throughout this passage is always between those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. Whether there are many people involved, which there are, or whether it's all. When it speaks of all, it's talking about all those who are in Adam and all those who are in Christ. Jesus Christ not only reversed the curse of death by forgiving and cleansing from sin, but he provided the way for redeemed man to share in the full righteousness and glory of God. It's through that one man, Jesus Christ, this grace abounded for many. We continue on to verse 16. It says, and the free gift is not like, here again, not like. Before it was the trespass, not like. Free gift, not like the trespass. Here it says, the free gift is not like the result. Now we're talking about a result. The free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for what happened? The judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. People are under condemnation that are apart from Christ. He that believeth not, it says, is condemned already. Under condemnation, right now, if you're apart from Christ. God is condemning you as a sinner. It's a judicial pronouncement, like a judge speaking from the bench. Adam offended. Adam sinned. His sin led to judgment being pronounced. He was condemned. Pronounced by the judge of all, God himself. Do you realize how much God hates sin, that it only took one sin to make a condemnation? And it condemned not only Adam, but all of his seed, all of his posterity. All that would come to be alive. They were all in Adam, and they were condemned. But here's the contrast. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses, that's you and I and how many sins we've committed. Many. But the free gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. Again, justification. That's a judicial announcement from the judge declaring you're righteous. You're not condemned. So when you were born, you were in Adam and you were condemned. When you came to Christ and you took hold of Christ and you believed, and now God pronounces not condemned, justified in the sight of God. Oh, how happy is the man, David said. How blessed is that man to whom God does not impute iniquity. Wow. Yes. What joy. It's a free gift from God that brings justification. Then we go on to verse 17, and it adds another new dimension. It says, for if, and again, it could be since, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. All right, what happened here? One man sinned, and death ruled. Okay? Death entered into the world through that one man's sin, and death was now the ruler. Death ruled over every single person who's come into the world. As the scripture says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everybody dies. Now, I know that some of you might be thinking, what about Elijah? Or what about Enoch? Well, you may not be satisfied with the answer I give you, but you know, death is a separation. Physical death is a separation from your physical body. If you can show me Enoch or Elijah's body, I'll say they didn't die. Now, whether that's still to come, maybe they're the two witnesses in Revelation. Come tonight, Justin's starting the book of Revelation. We'll do a study here. All right. But it's a point on a man wants to die. That's the general principle. Death is reigning like a king. It's ruling over all people. The world is full of cemeteries. Death is all around us, even when we don't want to think about it. Sin produced the opposite result from what Adam and Eve wanted. What did they want? They wanted to be like God, knowing good and evil, like the promise of the serpent. Instead, it was death. So if by, verse 17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, again, look at this, much more. Don't you love it? Boy, we're in Adam, we're death, oh, it's terrible, and yet in Christ, much more, much more, much more. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace, it's an abundance of grace, it's not just a small amount. There's no limit. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. Right? So we're just saying. There's no measure to it. Who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, that's the gift we receive in Jesus Christ. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Where death reigned in Adam, in Christ, life reigns. Life is the ruling principle. We now have received the gift of righteousness. We are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Without this righteousness, we cannot get into heaven. But now we are in heaven. Before death reigned, now life much more reigns. Now we experience life. At least we should be. We're free men. According to Romans 6:14, the next chapter, we're free from the dominion of sin. According to Romans 8, we're more than conquerors, and there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, the joy of it all. This is the reign of the life that is in Christ Jesus. It's through grace. And it produced the exact abundant result desired. Life, not death. Death reigned in Adam. Life reigns in Jesus Christ. Well, that brings us then to verse 18, and look at the extent. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. That is, for all men who are in Christ. What a difference. You notice he began there with, therefore. So he's thinking through the conclusion here, and he wants to finish the comparison. Therefore, as one, so one. See the argument? See the verse? Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification in life for all men. Now, you may have, some Bibles have italics, and if you have a Bible that has italics, there should be some words in italics. Literally, it says, therefore, as by the offense of one upon all men to condemnation, even so the righteousness of one upon all men unto justification of life. So one sin, and all men are under condemnation. One act of righteousness, Christ dying in our place, taking the penalty for our sin, and we are justified and given life. Our sins fully forgiven. Don't you love this song? My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not the part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, it is well with my soul. Wow. Praise be to God. Condemnation for all or justification for all in Christ? Are you in Adam or are you in Christ? Are you under condemnation today or do you have eternal life in Jesus Christ? That brings us to verse 19. Disobedience versus obedience. Because that's what it was. The first sin was disobedience. It was disobeying what God said to do or not to do. Verse 19, for as by the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. When Adam sinned, all who were going to live were put down in the rank of sinners. They were made sinners. They were not made sinful, because they hadn't sinned yet like he did, but they were made sinners, and they would sin. It's a certainty of what happened. All were made sinners. So the certainty in Christ. By one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. What did Jesus do? He was perfectly obedient. Lived a perfect life and could offer himself as a sacrifice for our sin. This leads to justification for life. We're finished with the realm of death, except for physical death, which will come and set us free from this body of sin. We are made righteous, though we did nothing righteous. We just took hold of the righteous one, Jesus Christ. Now if we sin, it's not against the law, it's against love. And that will lead us to the last two verses, which the apostles seemed to feel that there were some loose ends concerning the law, and he wanted to bring this up at the end. So we have these last two verses, verses 20 and 21. He says, now the law came in to increase the trespass. That's an interesting statement. God gave the law so that trespass would increase. You say, wait a minute. Don't you make laws to make trespasses decrease? No, you make laws to define what sin is. And by the way, have you ever told someone, now make sure you don't do that, and that's the first thing they want to do? Yeah. That's the danger of having too many rules. The law came in to increase the trespass. How's it do it? First, it defines what sin is. Before, I didn't know what was wrong. Now I know. Chapter 4, verse 15, where there's no law, there's no transgression because it's not defined. Even though there's still sin. 5:13, sin's not counted where there's no law. There's no specific command, you're disobeying. In chapter 7, verse 7, if it hadn't been for the law, I would have not known what sin was, because the law said, thou shalt not covet. Now all of a sudden I realized I was coveting. Also, the law gives us understanding. It gives us knowledge of the real nature of sin. It reveals the power of sin. It reveals to us the terrible grip which sin has taken on the human heart. The law reminds us this was wrong. The Spirit convicts us of the wrongdoing. The law brings out the awful deceitfulness of sin. It says, sin deceived me. Chapter 7, verse 11. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it, it killed me. And then it increases our conviction of sin. Our sin is greater because we know we've sinned. We know we have put ourselves against God's holiness. You know, when you get down to it, sin is just not loving God or loving our neighbor. That's how Jesus could say, this is the summation of the whole law of God. Love God and love your neighbor. Everything you all do wrong, everything we all do wrong is not loving God and not loving our neighbor. That's it. That fulfills it all. Sin also increases our desire to sin. It incites it, according to chapter 7, which we'll get to, Lord willing, someday. The law is the energizing force behind man's sin. Shows us that nothing can save us apart from Christ, and it points us to Christ. If you want salvation, go to Him. Continuing, verse 20. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, What happened? It says, grace abounded all the more. Now, some translations say where sin abounded, grace abounded more. The second word is a different word. It's a stronger word. Where sin increased, where sin abounded, grace superabounded. Okay, that's the picture. It abounded beyond measure. It overflowed. It engulfed. The same word is used in 1 Corinthians 15:54, where it says, death is swallowed up in victory. Not just balanced out or barely canceled. No! Grace is overwhelming. Oh, praise God for His grace. By the way, this is going to be the key to chapter 6 and 7 in the future here. Sin increases, yes, but grace superabounds. It doesn't just cancel our debt. It doesn't just declare us righteous. But this grace, this divine favor of God, is the enablement and influence in a positive life. It's the energizing force enabling us to do what is right. Well, we've been having this much more. We had it in verse 9, verse 10, verse 15, verse 17. Now these last two verses. Much more. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. This ought to cause us to rejoice. Rejoice in the grace of God. Sing that song every day, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But it more than just save me from my sin, it's what sets me free. Verse 21 gives us sort of a final summary. It says, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we're still in Adam, we're under sin, we're under the reign and tyranny of sin, we're under its dominion, we are its slave. We're following the ways of the world like sheep going astray. Sin is ruling, and it leads to death. But as sin reigned, so grace also might reign. And so we come to Christ. We receive that free gift of grace, which is Jesus Christ Himself. We receive that salvation, that righteousness from God. And now we are under the reign, the ruling of grace. Grace is the alternative to sin. It's not the alternative to law. It's what enables us to keep the law, but it's the alternative to sin. And by the way, grace does not just assist us in our efforts, it changes us. We have become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Grace acts like a king. And it conquers us. Grace reigns and it leads to righteousness in our lives. And what did the writer of the Hebrews say in chapter 4, verse 16? Therefore come with that confidence before the throne of grace, that you might continue to receive grace whenever you need it. We might sing the song differently. Oh, what grace we often forfeit by not coming to receive it, as well as peace. Grace is a ruler. Grace is a conqueror through Christ our Lord. It gives us life. It conquers spiritual deadness. It conquers spiritual antagonism. It persuades of spiritual truth. It leads us in the way of righteousness. Where are you this morning? Are you in Adam? Are you still in Adam? Or have you come to Christ? And if you've come to Christ, are you enjoying what you should be enjoying? The grace of God. What's the difference? Well, are you still sinning and not confessing it? The problem is not our sin, it's the problem of holding on to it and not confessing it. and thinking that now that we're saved, we can just go ahead and sin. And that will lead us to the next chapter where the apostle says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? And the answer is never. But that's for next week. I hope that you're all in Christ this morning. And in Christ we come and gather around the communion table and we commune with Him and with one another. And we proclaim our oneness in Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for the amazing grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift of salvation comes in Him. And we are here to declare it, to proclaim it. This is what's happened to us. This is why we have life. And we have it more abundantly. More abundantly than the sin that we used to have. But Lord, perhaps there are some of Your children here today who are still caught up in sin. They fail to realize what they could have in Jesus Christ, and they're living a defeated life. Help them to come back to Christ and confess their sin. Help them to receive the forgiveness and the cleansing again and again. Help them to repent and trust in Christ alone and to be renewed in their joy of Your presence. And then bless our time as we gather here together around the table of the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.